It's the How Games Make Money podcast. I'm your host, Jeffrey Grubb. Welcome to the ongoing business of season two. This is the show where I talk to people working in and around games and ask them, how does this business work? Is it all just planting seeds and waiting for zombie fighting flowers to pop out of the ground? New episodes come out when they're ready. On this episode, I am talking to Melvin Teo, who is the producer at PopCap Vancouver. They are working on bringing Plants vs. Zombies Battle for Neighborville to the Switch. This is the first time that a Frostbite engine is making its way to Nintendo's handheld platform. That's a pretty big deal. Also, it's a chance for this game that is a third-person shooter that has basically come and gone now. They're done making new content. It's come and gone. It's a chance for this game to find a new audience on the Switch, an audience that might be primed to really enjoy something like this. First, though, thank you for listening. You can get more from me at gamesbeat.com. Email the podcast at jeff.grubb@gmail.com with the subject line, How Games Make Money. You can also reach out on Twitter. I'm at Jeff Grubb. The podcast is at HGMM Show. You can support this show by going to my Patreon at patreon.com/Jeff Grubb. If you do that, you can subscribe at any number of tiers, but any tiers you subscribe to will get you access to private channels on my Discord. Now, my Discord, the link should just be in the description here for this podcast, but if you join the Patreon, there are a couple secret channels you can join. The conversations across the entire Discord are hotter than ever. There's some really cool stuff happening. I really like the community that we're building there, so go ahead and join us if you can. And again, that's patreon.com/Jeff Grubb. Okay, let's get to the show. Hi, Melvin. How's it going?
I'm good. Yourself?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. Just did a brisk walk, trying to stay active in some way. So I'm like, I'm a little bit, I got red in the face, but I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, I feel you. It's such a challenge to get exercise regularly nowadays.
Yes, it's tough. So, Plants vs. Zombies, Battle for Neighborville, coming to Switch. I guess, when did the planning for that start?
So I think honestly, when we first, we wanted to do this for a long time. Even when we first started Battle for Neighborville, that was always the plan, but we never had the right time or the opportunity or perhaps the right resources on the team to do so. So we didn't, obviously, when we first launched it back in 2019. But then we have spent the last year and a half bringing it over to the Switch, making sure that Frostbite works on a platform, because we are the first ever Frostbite title to be launched on the Nintendo Switch. But basically it's been a long time coming, and we're super happy that we finally released it, but you know, better late than never, right?
What considerations go into that when you are, planning it out, you see the Switch as a possibility. When you're making the game, do you have to worry about the Switch, I guess is the question?
Well, yes and no. I think there were some things that we had with the original or the first release of Battle for Neighborville that we had to subsequently adjust. For example, the biggest one is that Battle for Neighborville on other platforms are an online-only title, so you need an internet connection to log in and to even enter Giddy Park to do to do anything. But we knew that for the Switch, we wanted to change that and support offline play, because again, you know, the portability of the Switch is such a big part and a big appeal of the platform and the console. So that was one change where we had to make a lot of engineering decisions and change fundamentally how the game is architectured. For the most part, the game, you know, works great on the Switch. You know, we had to make some changes in terms of visual fidelity, and you know, we had to chase 30 frames per second instead of 60, but it's still a very, very fun and playable experience at 30. Yeah, so I think yes, there were some big changes, but overall we're very happy with how it turned out on the Switch.
Excellent. So you talked about it being, you know, a system that can be played a lot in offline mode because people might be traveling or whatever. So I guess that would go into the way that you've structured the Switch release. You can earn stuff offline. Does that stuff transfer over to online, or is this like, you know, we're just providing this for people who want to play a lot of Plants vs. Zombies and might be offline, but then they're not going to be able to take that stuff online? How did you break that out?
Basically, you can make progression offline as well as online. They're pretty much one and the same. The only thing you can't can't do offline are challenges, because they are tied to like daily, weekly challenges that we push from the server, which allow you to earn some prize bulbs. But beyond that, everything that you do offline is the same progression. You know, you earn coins, you earn XP, you level up your characters. You can spend the coins on unlocking items, either in the Rewardtron 9000 or Ruxus Emporium, which, and again, that was the other big change we made, which we removed all microtransactions and rainbow stars, which was our premium currency from the Switch version. And that's kind of why we called it the complete edition too, right? Because everything that we ever released post-launch for the last year is on the Switch version, and they're all added to Rux, but unlockable via coins instead of rainbow stars.
Did you have to make a lot of changes to the way the game works in terms of progression, or was it ready made for this Switch? And sorry, pun not intended there.
No. I love puns. For the most part, I think they were good. We did want to make sure that the Switch version was slightly more accessible, if we could call it that. So, for example, we reduced some of the prices of the. So, for example, with the Rewardtron 9000, it now takes half the amount of coins to pull an item. But we also did adjust, for example, the rewards that you get in private play, because now we have one economy, right, which is coins, and everything is a little bit more simplified. So we did little adjustments here and there. But for the most part, we didn't touch, the XP that you earn from completing missions in the free roam regions or just from general play. All that translated really, really well. The removal of the rainbow stars allowed us to sort of rejig the economy a little bit in most ways to make it more accessible for people who play on the Switch.
And do you think that the Switch acts as an opportunity for this game to be reinvigorated? There's a lot of people who play Switch, a lot of people who play a lot of online multiplayer shooter games on the Switch. Not just Splatoon, mm-hmm. but things like Fortnite. Do you think having a chance to appeal to this big and active audience is a real opportunity for Plants vs. Zombies?
Personally, I hope so. At this point in time, we're not planning new content for Battle for Neighborville, which is why we called it the complete edition, mm-hmm. because it's everything that we've ever launched. We're very hopeful because obviously there are people who only game on the Switch or game primarily on the Switch, and they have never had a chance to try PvZ. Certainly, we haven't released a PvZ game on a Nintendo console for more than 10 years now. I think it was PvZ 1 on DS. So for many players out there, whether young or old, this is their first real touch point for the PvZ third-person shooter series of games, so Garden Warfare 1 and 2 and Battle for Neighborville. Personally, I would love it if this regenerates, reinvigorates the franchise. Right now, we don't have any concrete plans to add more content to Battle for Neighborville, but
I mentioned it. I think it might be even like a good analog for in terms of audience and potential audience. But like Splatoon does seem like there's a lot of people who play Splatoon on Switch, and that's a full price game. It's not one of these free to play shooters. And maybe that game has it reached the end of its life in terms of content. Maybe that audience is ready for something new. Do you think that there's a chance to win over some of those players?
I would love it if more players try PvZ. I don't necessarily think that you can't play Splatoon and PvZ for sure. I think generally there are not that many third-person shooters on the Nintendo Switch at this point in time. One of the big reasons we wanted to bring Battle for Neighborville for the Switch because we felt it was perfect for the platform, really. I think in general, you could argue that the PvZ franchise really fits the Nintendo Switch. It's very fun, it's approachable, it's very family-friendly. We are a third-person shooter, but we're a lot easier to pick up. And less on a hardcore competitive side, you would say. And obviously I think Splatoon is a lot like that as well. We would love it if fans of Splatoon or any other third-person shooters on the Switch, give PvZ Battle for Neighborville a try. I think they'll be quite surprised and pleasantly surprised, hopefully.
So this is the first time that the Frostbite engine is coming to Switch as well. What was the process like to get that onto Nintendo's handheld? And my understanding is you worked with a porting studio dedicated to porting projects. What was that like as well?
We worked with a studio called QLOG SA. They're based in Warsaw, Poland. It is the first time that they've actually worked with our company. Mm-hmm. And they were awesome partners. You know, we worked really well in a co-development capacity. Being the first Frostbite title on Switch, you know, it was a massive technical undertaking. You know, I remember when we first started and we managed to get the game to, you know, boot up and run on Frostbite, you know, we hit like, I don't know, 2 or 3 frames per second, and, you know, it was a slideshow, and we had a lot of work to do. But, you know, I'm super proud of the team. You know, we made a lot of really smart engineering decisions and optimization to make it run at a steady 30 frames per second without, you know, compromising the visual quality of the game, because we want to, you know, the visual look and feel of the game is a big part of what gives, you know, Battle of the Neighborville and PVZ in general its charm and quality. So we're very happy with what we eventually accomplished. You know, obviously we were in mid-production last year, and then the global pandemic hit, so that didn't suddenly made things initially a lot more challenging. You know, we had to adjust to distributed remote working setup, you know, across 2 different studios and time zones as well. As if game development wasn't already challenging. But I think, you know, we're still learning how best to make games in this kind of environments. But we're super proud of what we ultimately achieved. And, you know, we're very happy that we're the first Frostbite game to be released on the Switch as well.
To me, I find it endlessly impressive that people can finish any sort of project in this environment. But I mean, games are hard anyhow, and you guys are shipping mm-hmm. a game during the pandemic. I mean, is that something that you're proud of? Is that something that feels nice that like we figured this out and we did it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the same can be said for any game that releases during this time. And it's not just the game development teams, right? It's all the, you know, the publishing and retail, and there's so many chains that get affected by the pandemic and having to work remotely. No, I'm super proud. I mean, obviously it's not something that we wanted. You know, there's always a sense of, you know, having the team together in the studio and working together, that's, you know, you miss that for sure. But, you know, we try to, you know, make up for in, you know, with Zoom meetings and virtual hangouts and ways to get the team working closely together. And the team, honestly, the team was super passionate about the product. And a lot of them have worked on the Battle for Neighborville prior to the Switch version. And they love, you know, we love playing together, the game together. I know a lot of us have kids, and, you know, I know my 6-year-old daughter always comes by and she looks at her game and she's super happy just to see the characters do silly stuff. So little things like that sort of give us a lot of energy and momentum and inspiration to bring it over to the Switch, right? I'm super proud of the team. I think it was a big achievement, not just for us, but for any game that releases in this time, really.
Melvin, you know, that does it for me. I don't have any other questions. I just want to thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it.
No, thank you for taking the time to talk to me. I appreciate it too.
Absolutely. Have a good one, and good luck with the launch.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening, everybody. I'll be back with another new episode pretty soon. Until then, have a good one. Take care of yourself, and goodbye.